I mean, every one of these children are going to grow up, just like you and me. We grew up, right? And the impact of people in our life makes all the difference. So really pray as we're talking here this morning and sharing. Really pray about it, okay? Now, here's what I would like to do before I minister. I've got some time, and I'm going to preach the Word of God. But I want to get one lady at least who would testify about what happened at the Women's Fearless Conference. And I'm thinking of Pastor Jenna. That's who I'm thinking about. I don't know, but she taught, and I heard she did amazing. So could you just give us a little testimony of what happened or what you felt or sensed or what you went through or what you delivered? Would you mind? Yeah, thank you.
Well, it was so awesome. I think I was so blessed just, it's not about numbers, but I was so blessed by so many women coming together. That was just a big blessing in so many communities and so many places. So that was awesome just to be with everyone. And then I think just like when we went to our morning meeting, Mary and the rest of the leaders came together early in the morning. And it was like God just brought our hearts together. And he made us one. And I really saw a vision of the Lord preparing this well, and it was like we were all tapping in to the same well of God. And so it was like no matter who you went to, no matter what breakout session you went to or who was speaking, God was just flowing in all of it, which was so beautiful. When the Holy Spirit comes like that, just so wonderful, because it's like wherever you go, he's there. So it was just so wonderful to be with the women. I saw so many women give testimony about how their hearts were being healed and broken spirits and emotions and prophetic words were given and people's lives were just transformed. So it was just such a blessing just to be with all of you women that were there, and come next time if you weren't, because it's just awesome to empower each other and to become fearless for God. So is that good?
Awesome. Thank you. All right. And one other one. I know 35 guys got together, and you know, you put food out, you can get guys, you know. I mean, free food, 35 guys. Nonetheless, one guy that was there, maybe just a testimony of what you felt, how it impacted you, and why someone should join you next time. I just felt like we should do that. Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, brother.
How are you? All right, I was there. And from a guy's perspective, you know, guys, when we move forward, something I came away with last night from that opportunity to fellowship with guys was just kind of awesome. You know, we come to our Heavenly Father, and Pastor Adam basically shared some things that kind of really touched heart, you know, and he talked about his relationship with his father in the past and the struggles that he faced. But then sometimes when we've had problems and issues, it keeps us separated from our fathers. And sometimes the things that we do, you know, we wander away or we go places that we shouldn't be. But it's amazing that when we all came together as men, just wanting to be in the presence of God, it was awesome. We had a great time of fellowship. And so I'm encouraging there's going to be some awesome and wonderful things that are going to be done through the men of this church. And guys, we're going to rise up in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the things that I saw in the faces and the people that were there, these guys are committed, and I think this thing's going to grow, but we're going to do some pretty adventurous stuff. I guess, so to speak, we'll be wild at heart, as John Eldridge should say. So I encourage you, if you weren't there, come to the next one. And that's when? Do we have the date?
It's going to be, I believe right now, the fourth Sunday of every month. I'm sorry, fourth Saturday of every month.
Okay, so fourth Saturday of every month. I guess we're gonna ping that as our date and time to be there. And 2 hours, 10 o'clock till noon. So come, join the fellowship, and yes, of course, sometimes there should be pretty good food there. And other times, we may be out doing things where there may be food involved. So either way, guys, it was awesome.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Awesome. That is so cool. I'm so excited about it. You know, you think about, why should you give to a church? Well, we just gave you a bunch of reasons this morning. You got 52 kids sitting here, pictures looking at you. There's 52 reasons. Why should you give to a church? Well, you had 140 ladies come together and got ministry yesterday, preaching and teaching, and a facility that we're able to provide. That's why you should give to a church. You say, well, why should I give to a church? Because you had 35 guys come together yesterday and were challenged and encouraged and brought, you know, in a new place with God. That's why you should give to a church. There's so many reasons to develop a community of faith. And lastly, I think, and probably one of the most important aspects, is God is calling us to join the Elijah generation. Because we are going to be people of the Holy Spirit. And you should tap into that. Learn how to tap into that and be a part of it. Like tonight, like a couple weeks ago here in Wycliffe. It was powerful. And you don't want to be on the outside looking in. You want to be right in the middle of what God is doing, right? All right, look at somebody and say, get in the middle. Come on. All right. Hallelujah. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing with you about how important it is if you want to elicit change, if you want to see something different in your life than you've experienced before, then there's certain additives that you want to engage in. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus changed the world. And the world is still impacted by his change. When he came into the earth, things shifted. I believe God wants to shift things in our lives. I don't have to look at my life in the future through the lens of my past. I can expect something different because God is always changing, right? So I don't have to expect that it's going to be over and over the same problems that I've had or the same shortcomings. No way. I can get up in the morning and say, you know what? This is going to be a great day. God's got something good planned for me. He's going to bring some great people into my life, and I'm going to experience the goodness of the Lord. How many would like to get up with that every morning, right? That's how I want to get up. I don't want to get up with like, oh, dragging my feet and, oh, I got the Molly Grubs and nothing. Going to go good for me. That is a lie of the devil. You've got to start saying, I trust you, Jesus. Because sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes people get mean. Sometimes people get ugly. Do you know any ugly people? Mean people? Tough people? Do you ever have any situations in your life? You're like, God, I'm shaking. I feel like I'm about to fall. That's when you have to open up your mouth and declare, the Lord is good, and I will praise him. I trust you, Lord. I believe you've got my back. I believe, Father, that you've got only good plan for my life. See, you have to open your mouth and begin to say that, because most of the time, you know what we say? All the words of negativity come out of our mouth. And it's funny, when you get around negative people, they suck you in. You ever get sucked into negativity? Yeah, you go over and you're talking to a few people, and they're like, wham, wham, wham. And you're all of a sudden going, wham, wham, wham. And they're like, wham, 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 wham. And you're like, wham, wham, wham. So it's just a wham, wham, whambulance party, right? Come on, everybody's having that issue. So, you know, the Pharisees couldn't accept Jesus's impartation into the world. They just couldn't accept it because they were too rigid. They were too steeped in their own tradition. Jesus said, your tradition or the way you do life is nullifying the word of God. It's not making it of any effect. So we have to break loose from things that have been restricting us from experiencing the life of the Spirit. They could not accept Jesus because Jesus could not be bound by the rules they themselves had set. What rules have you set that Jesus can't enter into? What restrictions or limitations have you put on the kingdom of God? And that because of that, Jesus can't penetrate. Holy Spirit can't move into your life because you have a mentality that says off limits. There are no off limits with God. We have to give God everything, all of our thoughts, all of our ideologies, every philosophy, every relationship. We have to say, Father, I am open to you. I want your way in my life. You see, new wine, as I said a couple weeks ago, requires new approaches. New wine requires new traditions and new structures, because you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You can't bring last year's mentality into this year. Look, we're about done with the first month of 2017. Do you believe it? It's gone by so quick. Thank God. Spring training is right around the corner. Baseball, right? We're all looking for spring. But the facts are, we can't bring from what we experienced last year into this year. You've got to start looking to have new structures, new traditions, because the Holy Spirit's always pouring out new wine. He's always pouring out new wine, new opportunities. You know, I just love the fact that God is always creating. He didn't sit down and stop creating. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, God sat down on the seventh day, saw it was good, and went to sleep. You think God went to sleep on the seventh day and hasn't touched anything from the, he's created you, he's created me. I've got a great granddaughter going to be born in a couple of weeks. Her name is Riley. A whole book has been written about her. I've been praying over her. I've been speaking life over her. I already called her husband in. I have. I said, Riley, you will have an amazing husband in Jesus' name. I don't know what he looks like, but he's going to be amazing. And I'm going to be at that wedding. Ooh, that's my prayer. You know, that's going to be me, be ushered in at the end there. I'm like, give me a seat. Like, go, Riley. Because God has a plan for our lives. Jesus didn't come in the world to repair a broken down religion, a negative mindset. God didn't come to repair things that don't work. You say, well, what do you mean? I thought he makes all things new. No, he demonstrates the concern for newness in every facet of our life. He just doesn't want to do a makeover. He wants to create a new you. You know, we don't get that, do we? We think that he just wants to improve us. No, he wants to give you a new person, a new perspective, new relationships, new thoughts. Man, God has so many good things for us. Let's not limit him as we wrap up this first month. I said there are 10 things that Jesus did that are so important. Number one, we said he prayed and relied upon the Holy Spirit. You and I want to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it he wants? Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to say? Holy Spirit is challenging me. And it should challenge all of us. Why? Because there are people out there, they, contrary to a lot of belief of church folks, there are a lot of people out there that don't relate to this at all. I mean, they look at church on Sunday morning and they're thinking, you people are crazy. You are weird. And we look at the, quote, left, and we think they're all going to hell. And we think the people on right, they're all going to heaven. You know what? That may not be the case. We can't start classifying people because of their attachments or their associations or even by the verbiage. God said, I know them by the Spirit. I know them by their heart. We have to be open to say, you know what, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to say to this individual? How do you want me to relate your love to them? Help me not to be blocked from my ministry to them based on what I see with my eyes or what I have known with my mind. Folks, there are some people, and it just so disturbs me, that they call themselves Christians, and yet they hate people who don't share in their same philosophies. You can't hate people who don't share in your same tradition or philosophy or approach in life just because they believe they're pro-choice. Oh, they're going to hell. Well, maybe they won't if you can love them. If you can touch them, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you insight as to how to relate to them. Number two, Jesus made declarative statements. I already talked a little bit about that, but John 6:38, you and I have got to get up in the morning and open our mouth and say something good, something powerful. Jesus did it all the time. He made declarative statements. He heard what his Father said, and he kept repeating it. We've got to release the word of the Lord into our atmosphere. Number three, Jesus practiced speaking truth. Don't speak error. Don't speak assumptions. Don't speak non-factual events. Don't repeat the news. We do that all the time. You don't even know if it's true. And we're like, well, I read it on Facebook. I saw it on the news. And did you hear what happened? Oh, no, wait a minute. Learn to speak the truth. The truth. Every person on this planet has been created in the very image of God. And it's not God's will that anyone would perish, but all would have everlasting life. Man, I want to love like that. I want to put on the kind of love that God has for his people, for his creation. We need to speak truth. Number four, Jesus built relationships with people. I think that's vital. He said, Peter, do you love me? He goes, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Remember that in John chapter 21? He said, tend to my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my lambs. What was he really trying to convey to Peter? He was conveying to Peter that it is important that you build relationships with people, meaningful relationships. I've learned something about all my grandchildren. All 14 of them are different. I've learned something about my own children. All four of them are different and unique. And if I try to classify them together, I get in trouble. Because I have to respect their own personality. I have to know who they are. And one of the things that I've had to do with one of my grandchildren to try to create a relationship is I've had to get into his world. And if I don't get into his world, he doesn't relate to me. He doesn't talk to me. But when I get into his world, he opens up. But I don't like his world. I'm not into video games. I'm not a gamer. But when he's around, I'm a gamer. And I'm terrible at it. And he laughs at me, but he talks to me. We have to build relationships. If you love God, build relationships with people. It's vital. It's so important. And in church, that's what we're talking about with these guys coming together. Guys, on Saturday, you need relationships. Because if you're like most men, you're isolated. You have far too much time with yourself. And you're being influenced by media. You're being influenced by your own carnal appetites and passions. You're being influenced by your sense of self-worth. All those things are talking to you. You need some guys around you. Relationships who believe in you. Who can lift you up. Same with the ladies. With all of us. Number five, Jesus understood the spirit of the Word of God. The spirit of the Word of God. In other words, when David was hungry and he ate of the showbread, which was officially only for God, for the priests, and then he gave to his men to eat as well, people would say, oh, I can't believe that you did that. The Bible says, you know, I hear that all the time and I just want to respond, but I resist because I refuse to respond to ignorance. There's so much of that. People write stuff on social media there. But the Bible says, you don't have the first clue about what the Bible says. You're quoting a verse totally out of context. You're quoting it with a hateful heart. You're quoting it with judgmental. You don't know the spirit of the word. It's like people always talk about Judas. You know, Judas, he betrayed Jesus, right? He was a bad dude, right? He got full of the devil. But what did he do? He went out and hung himself. Now, if Judas went out and hung himself when he messed up, maybe that's what you ought to do. He said, well, Pastor, that is absurd. Of course it is, because that's not the spirit of the word. We can't throw Bible verses around to push people around or to push people down. Stop that. Learn to understand what the spirit of the word is. And the spirit of the word will always have a foundation of God's love and acceptance and kindness. Kindness, there's a word for you. Kindness. Now, let me share with you somebody's car is going off. Number six. This is where I'm at. That was all introduction. Are you ready? Here we go. Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 30. Come on, let's put it up on the screen. Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 30. Come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Powerful scripture. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was Jesus trying to say? He was saying you and I are connected to something, whether you want to be or not. And that connection will wear you out unless it's a God connection. It'll wear you down. It will abuse you. It will take advantage of you. When you are yoked to something as a as an oxen, when you are yoked to another oxen, you are led by the lead oxen to do whatever it desires for you to do. If it wants to go to the left, you go to the left. Why? Because you are connected to its left turn. And it rules your life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You need to be connected to me, because when you're connected to me, I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. Change in our life, we have to look at what we are connected to. What is it that is ruling us or dominating us? What is it that has the major influence in our life? Some people, the major influence in their life is sports. Someone asked me the other day, well, who are you for? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? I'm like, I don't know. The Browns aren't playing, so I don't know. I haven't had to say that ever. So, you know, I knew that everybody's Patriots fan because Patriots are winners. So I thought, I'm for the Falcons. They go, oh, you're just saying that because you're for the underdog, right? I said, no, I just picked the team. I don't really care. Well, then he started ringing off all the statistics of all the players and histories. And I'm like, dude, you are yoked to the NFL. People are yoked to certain things. But know this, if you're not yoked to Jesus, that thing will wear you down and out and not provide peace in your life. You see, Jesus always gave people hope for change before they changed. Go back to the verse, if you can, on 28, Matt. Thank you. Watch this. Come to me, all you are laboring or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In other words, he's saying, look, I know your life is a mess. I know you're having trouble. I know that what you're connected to is hurting you, and it's causing a lot of pain in your life. I know that. But guess what? I will come. If you'll come to me, I'm going to give you rest from that. So Jesus always gives people hope who are in a bad situation. I want to offer you hope today. If something is wearing on you or heavy on you, there is hope. If you can come to Jesus, he will give you that rest. He always gave us hope and love before we actually experienced hope and love. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of why I get up every morning and continue to serve him, because I know my God is too good and he's always offering me hope and love. Even though what I'm going through right now is hurting me, I'm feeling crushed by it, I'm feeling a lot of pain by it, but I know this, God is always offering me hope and love. He offers us hope and love and before asking us to even change. He said, come to me. That was an invitation. And he said, I'm going to do this for you. Look at the next verse again, please. In verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, if you'll take this relationship, this connection, and literally put it upon you, like that yoke that's hurting you, you put upon you, put this on you. And when you do that, you're going to see something, gentleness and humility, and you're going to find rest and you're going to find peace. What an offer from the Lord. So what is that you're connecting with today that's wearing you out? Sometimes it's people. I have to admit, not everybody is nice. And sometimes you have to limit yourself. You know what Tina and I have had to learn over 40 years of ministry is that we've met 99.9% wonderful people, but there's a small fraction of people that really are not nice. And they bring lots of pain into our life. So what do? When they come this way, we go this way. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to understand that what is trying to connect to you or reconnect you is not for your good, but for theirs. Be careful that you don't allow things to connect in your life that are for your abuse. God never called us to be abused. He's always called us to peace and hope and love. The next one, Jesus warned against hypocrisy. How many know where the word hypocrisy comes from? Hypocrite. How many know where hypocrite comes from? It comes from church. Right? Everybody says, there's all kinds of hypocrites in church. Well, okay. But you know, hypocrite originally came from the theater. When an actor or actress would put on a great performance, like say I was playing some role in a play, say I was performing in a play, and I was a sheriff in town that was really unruly and controlling, and so I took on that character, and I would become that sheriff. People would sit there and go, wow, what a great hypocrite. In other words, I'm putting on something that I'm really not, but I'm convincing you that I am. That's where it comes from. It comes from theater. Jesus said this, be careful of hypocrisy. What does that mean? Don't be what you're not. And you know what I've seen over the years in church, that most people, it's not that they want to be something that they're not. It's just that the expectation of the culture demands them to be something they're not. So when you walk through the door, it's like, hi, praise the Lord. But you didn't talk like that in the car driving over here. You didn't talk like that. You didn't wake up this morning and say, I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm excited. Woo! During worship, we're like, woo, I'm so excited, Jesus. Sometimes we feel like we have to fulfill the role. We have to put on the mask. And it's because we have put that pressure on those that join the culture. When in fact, Jesus said this, Matthew 7, verse 13, look at it. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Be your own person. Be who God made you to be. We love the way you are. You have to dress like me, look like me, heaven forbid. Be who you are. And the rest of us ought to express that freedom and release to other people. You know what? I love what you do. I celebrate who you are. I think you're awesome and you are cool. You know, we can't judge people to say, you know what? I just don't get it, man. Why are you such a fuddy-duddy? Why are you living in the ancients? Why don't you get with it? It's the 21st century. Why don't you appreciate who they are? Why do you have to make them into something that they're not? Why are you enforcing hypocrisy for acceptance? In other words, I need to push you so that you'll be more like what I expect so we can have a relationship. You notice that? That's what we do. We hang out with people that we create. We create our own relationships on our terms. Because we don't like anybody that's not like us. And if you want to be with me, you got to be like I like. So that means you got to start liking country western music. Whatever. We've got to get it down. We got to play it, man. Or if you don't, you got to like hip hop. If you don't like hip hop, out. We have this thing in church where we have to be supernatural all the time. But let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't even supernaturally active all the time. Did you know sometimes he slept? He took a nap. Now, how can a man who's supernatural sleep? Well, why was he sleeping? Because he was tired. We can't put these expectations on people to the point where we want them to perform beyond spiritual relationship. No hypocrisy. Next. Jesus spoke with authority. You and I need to speak with authority. In other words, don't open your mouth unless you know what you're talking about. That would help a lot of us. Speak with authority. In other words, we speak with authority based on what we know the Word of God declares. I say that Jesus Christ is the healer. He bled and he died, and by his stripes we are healed. You say, well, that's true, but not everybody gets healed. Not everybody gets saved. Oh, it's God's will that every man would be saved and none would perish. Oh, but that's not true because not everybody will. God's predestined. Wait. I'm speaking with authority. I'm speaking with authority, not my authority, but God's authority. I know that God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we've had this experience recently, T and I, and we're trying to live an adjusted kind of income thing, you know. It's kind of different because we're not on a salary anymore. We're not getting paid anymore. So I expected so much money to come in, and guess what? It was 50% less. 50% less. What you told me, it was going to be this amount. Yeah, but we made a mistake. Talking about the government, you know, Social Security. It's 50% less. I'm like, oh, I'm going to call somebody about this. This is crazy. This can't happen. 50% less. You got to be kidding me. Tina, what are we going to do? We can't do this. This is impossible. I'm going to get a job at Walmart. I got to do something. I got to greet. I got to do something. How are we going to live? And God says, you could either do that or you could speak with authority. And so I spoke with authority. I only ranted for about 2.5 minutes. Honestly, this was a great day for me. Normally, I rant a little bit longer. But this day, I was anointed. 2.5 minutes, I'm like, no, I don't think so, devil. I just want you to know that our God is a good God, and he meets all of my need. And he knew way before I got this letter that this was going to happen. And he led me to this place. So I'm confident that my God is able. Yeah. I just squared my shoulders and pushed out my chest. Now, I can't tell you that the next day got all this cash and all this increase. None of that's happened. But you know what? I'm still speaking with authority. Because I am a king on the earth. I am God's son on the earth. You are God's daughter on the earth. Don't talk like a pauper wearing a king's robe. You and I have to learn how to speak with authority. When your family is in trouble, fathers, come on, priests of the home, you got to walk in there and you have to reassure them that God is good and he's going to take care of this. Don't get nervous. Don't be worried because our God is going to meet our need. Don't wring your hands. Don't cry out. Don't get drunk. Oh, I'm just going to go get a drink. How is that going to help? How does getting drunk change anything? Only makes it worse. Because you're yoked or connected to something that's controlling you. You know, a lot of people say, why don't you drink and why don't you, you know, you can smoke. And I'm not saying anything about anybody. You want to drink, that's up to you. You want to smoke, that's up to you. But I don't get yoked to anything that controls me. I don't want ever to walk through the day and go, hey, Lou, it's time for a cigarette. And me reach even unconsciously and take it out and light it and go, oh, wow, I'm smoking. I know that because I used to smoke. Smoking used to have control over me. So did drinking. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have anything yoke me to control me. I've had people control me. Have you ever had people control you? Oh, boy. I'd like to give you a couple testimonies about my mother. She was one controlling woman. It was her way or no way. Not even the highway. That wasn't an option. Highway was not an option. So you have to speak with authority. Who I am in Christ. I am a redeemed. I am a child of God. We sang that earlier, man. That resonates with me. I'm a child of God. And it's like I almost have to warn the powers and principalities around me and even people and say, excuse me, before you go any further, let me just inform you. You need to know who I am. Do you know who you're talking to? I would tone it down because my Father in heaven, he's amazing and he loves me so much. He's probably going to kick your kneecap. You see what I'm talking about? All right, Jesus spoke with authority. You ready for one more? Jesus served God and man, Mark 10:45. This is one of my life verses. It has been for years. I've used it since I was first saved. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. When the Holy Spirit showed me that some 40 years ago, he said, I want you to make service to me and service to your fellow man the priority in your life. That's why I came. That's why I raised you up, to serve. The other night we were invited over this neighbor's house and we were having an outdoor fire. We were all sitting very close, you know. And this woman kept walking around the fire pit and tripping on a piece of wood. Now there was probably 20 of us sitting around this fire pit. Everybody saw her trip. And the Holy Spirit said, pick up the piece of wood so she doesn't trip again. And I'm like, why do I always have to do this kind of stuff? You know, I mean, there's like four guys closer than me. What? He said, I know, but they're not here to serve. I'm like, all right. And as I went over to pick it up, the wind was blowing right in that direction with all the smoke. And I'm like, I got to walk into that smoke. I'm going to smell like smoke. I'm going to get these little fire things on me. And I'm going to have to pick this up. He said, just do it. I'm like, okay, because that's what I called you to do. So I went down, I picked it up. And one of the guys goes, hey, what are you, is fire not big enough for you? I said, no. I said, I'm not going to put it on the fire. I said, I just felt like I should move that so Annie doesn't trip. He goes, oh, she needs a trip. I'm like, I'm going to throw this right at you. You look for opportunities to serve. You're sitting down at the restaurant with somebody and their glass is near empty. Pour them more water. If somebody says, I don't see any salt, get up and go ask for it and bring it back to them. Not for you, but for them. Have a mentality that serves. When you see somebody that's not feeling well, they're kind of down in their countenance, go over to them and try to encourage them. Why? Because you're serving what they have need of. They're lacking affirmation. They're lacking a purpose. Serve them in that moment. Why? Because Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. These things are the way that we initiate change in our life. Be a server. You know, I often come into a large group, and that's what I do. I look to see who helps set up the chairs. And when it's over, I look to see who leaves the mess. I do, because I know that the people that stop and say, I'm going to help put this back together again, there's something about them that they have a connection with Jesus that's really unique. Now, there are times when not everybody can stay. I get that. Don't judge me. But I am saying that I look for people who know how to serve. How many of us walk over a top of a piece of paper because we're not the janitor? Jesse Duplantis told the story once in a fine hotel in Maui. I forget which one it is, but it was one of the great hotels in Maui. And he was walking through the grounds, and there was this paper skewn all over the floor, all over the grounds on the pathway. And he stopped and he picked it up and he put it in his pocket and he kept on walking. And another guy came up behind him and said, excuse me, sir. And he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, I noticed that you just picked up all that paper off the pathway. And Jesse said, well, yeah. He said, it was on the grounds and I just thought that it should be thrown away. He goes, well, I really appreciate that. Matter of fact, he said, I own this hotel. And he said, because you did that, your stay is going to be absolutely free. And anytime you want to come back, just call me because you'll have a room at no charge. And Jesse said, I love serving Jesus. You know how he does. He's like, he just does that. He knows how to do that. Serving God and serving man. Why do we do what we do? Because we serve God. Why do you think Pastor Adam and Jenna are going to go bowling tonight? Because they like bowling? Pastor Adam can't bowl. He's horrible. Right? You said it. I'm just repeating what you said. He gets gutter balls all the time. You're supposed to knock the pins over in your lane. Yeah. Why do you think he's doing it? Why do you think they went to the retreat? Why do you think they just spent a weekend with 40-some teenagers? Because they want to just hang out with 40-some teenagers? No, because they're serving the need that they have. They're serving you with your teenager tonight. It's all about service. That's really what's going to make the change. I said that was the last one, but this is the last one, I promise. Jesus walked in wisdom. As I was driving here today, and I didn't know what to expect with the weather, and it is a lot more snow here than it is in Westlake where I live, but it wasn't bad. I got here in 40 minutes. But in those 40 minutes, I was praying. And one of my main prayers is James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and unbraideth not. That's been my prayer since I got Mark chapter 10, verses 45. It's one of my life verses. And I said, Lord, I need wisdom because I don't know how to preach. I don't know what to say. And I know there are people there that have various needs, and I need to have the words that come from heaven because I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I need to say what they need to hear. So, Holy Spirit, I lean into you and I rely upon you. Please help me. I've realized that I don't have wisdom to come up with ideas of how to make payments on a nearly $2 million budget when we rely solely upon the gifts and the graces of God's people. And when we have a shortfall, I don't know how to make paychecks. I don't have enough money to make paychecks. I don't know what to do. Or if I have a shortfall of $50,000 to $80,000, when we came in here, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how we were going to build this. I didn't know how we were going to, I had no money to do it. We had nothing. How'd we buy it? I have no idea. Jesus knows. But what I'm saying is you have to pray for wisdom. Wisdom is an impartation of the Holy Spirit. It is God's solution to your life problem. Look at Colossians 2, verse 3. Do you already have it up there? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In whom, watch this, you got to get this. And I'm going to close with this. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Jesus. In whom, Jesus, are hidden all the treasures. A treasure. Can you imagine finding a treasure? Like if you were out at sea and you found this whole gold and it's been in the sea since 1600s, it's a treasure, and you come up and you're like, we're rich, we're billionaires. There's a treasure of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. And all we have to do is ask. That's all we have to do is just ask. So there's not a day that I don't ask. Say, Father, I am not qualified. I am disqualified for what I'm about to do this morning. Lord, I know that in my own self that I don't have the knowledge, education, learning, or ability. But I wholly lean into you and your wisdom to impart to me to know what to say. When I walked through the door earlier this morning and I saw a few of the people standing around and we were talking, I had already prayed about those relationships on my way here. I said, Father, I need wisdom to know how to respond to the need, not to the conversation. Because they may say to me, oh, how you doing? And it's great to see you. Or, boy, that conference was wonderful. And for me to say, yeah, I heard it was great. That's not my response, because wisdom may usurp that. And they may say, yeah, but I understand that so-and-so said this and that this ministry took place. And it really isn't a response to what they said, but it was the wisdom of God imparted to how to respond to what they just declared. So I don't take it for granted that I have conversation that's casual. I never try to have casual conversation. I try to have spirit-led conversation with the impartation of wisdom to be able to respond to you for your moment of need. Because that's how Jesus initiates change in our life. Don't take it for granted. We don't know that much. And when we begin to rely upon our own intellect and our own ability to communicate to people and think that we're able to tell them what they know or what they need to know, I'm going to tell you what I think. Don't do that, because what you think stinks. Tell them what God says. Speak words of wisdom. Speak words of knowledge. And when we do that, we're going to see the effect of change in our life. So can I just tell you right now how important it is to put the lives of those that are around us and just change their life? These little kids up here are are destined for a cultural indoctrination of defeat, self-centeredness. Many of them are going to be bruised. If they haven't been already, there's a high percentage of them that is going to be abused physically or sexually. Some of them are going to be abandoned if they haven't already been. Some of them are going to experience poverty, and they're going to eat food that's non-nutritious. They're going to eat junk food most of their life, and their food of choice will be Burger King because that's all they know. It's across the street. But they can be changed. How can they be changed? When we experience change, we cultivate change. We cultivate change in the lives of other people. And so the ministry of Joshua Kids is so important and so impactful that I wanted to take a moment before I offer opportunity for you to change a life to watch these testimonies. And I remember the first time Tina brought three of our sponsored Joshua Kids into our home. I was still reeling from this experience. I got the prophetic word that said this was God. I was assured that I knew it was. But our little home was a two-bedroom, 1,500-square-foot condo. I was very happy with it. And when those three kids came over to spend the weekend, they were not treating my home the way I would treat it. And they were running all over. They were touching things. They were jumping on the couch. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. And one of them said to me, looking up at the chandelier, it wasn't even real crystal. He said, "Wow, Pastor Louis, I've never been in a castle before." I said, "Okay, shut up, Kayton." Here's a couple testimonies. Matt, would you show them, please?
I do have to say, I do thank Joshua Kids, and Pastor Tina and Pastor Louis, because I always say if it wasn't for them, I'd be one lost person in this community of Lorraine. I remember living in the projects on Sunset Boulevard and getting a knock on the door from some random church people knocking, recruiting kids to come to a program on a bus. And my mother sent me and my sister, and that's how it all got started. They just showed that they cared for us and stuff like that, and it helped us out a lot. Never gave up on us, always showed us support, and always motivated us to keep on progressing in life. It's just something that just stuck to me, you know. I mean, my parents always cared for me, but these people really showed that, you know, not only your parents are the only ones that can care for you, you know, they actually opened up their hearts and their homes to us. I just took that as a, I don't know, as something that positive that helped me change the way I was going as a kid and just turn myself around. And I'm glad that that was one of the stepping stones that helped me move ahead and get to where I'm at today. I've been through a lot, but Joshua Kids was something that always was there, and always, there was always support from everyone, not just spiritual parents or guides or anything like that. It was just like, it was just a big family, and we all felt comfortable with them.
How you doing? My name is Antoinette, and I am an original Joshua Kid. I like to think I am the woman I am today because of Joshua Kids. Joshua Kids was probably the greatest motor in the person I am today. Joshua Kid taught me how to develop a relationship with God. Joshua Kids taught me how to pray. Joshua Kids taught me how to believe, and Joshua Kids gave me hope. Joshua Kids took us all from our different environments, and I had friends who were also Joshua Kids who had situations that were more unfortunate than mine and households that were more challenged or more damaging to a child than mine personally was. And they took us out and they loved us and they built in us and they gave us this unconditional hope and love and just strengthened and taught us how to believe in God, pray, and trust in God. And when I want to say the second thing, which I've already kind of touched on, in hope, Joshua Kids, Miss Patty, Pastor Tina, Miss Becca, was always emphasizing that God has something better in store for you. God has something in store for you. And they, one of the things that as a Christian you learn is that you are in the world but not of the world. And as that resonated to a child, we were of a bad situation, but we weren't a bad situation. And many of our parents made us feel like mistakes and burdens. And Joshua Kids kind of really reiterated that we are a value and we are a blessing and we are an asset, and God's going to use us in some powerful way that, you know, we're unaware of and our little minds couldn't conceive. And I held on to that. And I prayed my way through challenging situations. I never lost hope in God. I never lost hope in those thoughts that Becca and Pastor Tina and Miss Patty were constantly reiterating every week. They would hug you, they were loving you, and they would pour the Spirit of God that you could see radiating from them into each one of us every Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday night at Joshua Teens. And I held on to that for myself personally, and I let it inspire me and I let it motivate me. And I made better choices than maybe some of my peers or some of my friends based on holding on that God has something for me and God has something in store for me. And many of us Joshua Kids were in hopeless situations and in situations that didn't seem like greatness was ever going to be a possibility for us. But holding on to being someone that God is going to use in some special way was a motivating factor for me and some of my other friends who were also Joshua Kids. And it definitely molded me into the woman I am today. Think that I'm living up to that little message that Pastor Tina and Miss Patty and Becca would always, you know, whisper in our ear and hug us and, you know, support us. That God is using me in a powerful way. As I stand, I'm just maybe a couple courses away from having my master's degree in nursing. I am the director of nursing for a corporation. I manage over 300 staff, and I'm always trying to, you know, be that blessing that Joshua Kids program was able to be for me. And I love to go and tell, you know, Miss Patty and Pastor Tina and Miss Becca that because of you, I am someone special. Because of you, I'm making my kids and my husband and everyone proud. And because of you, I'm trying to be to someone else what you all were to me. If I could think of one single thing that molded me above all, it has to be Joshua Kids, because Joshua Kids gave me the gift of God. Joshua Kids took kids who might not have been familiar or had a relationship with God, and you gave us skills that I'm still using today. My relationship with God started as a young Joshua Kid. And God has been there for me. God has never failed me. And I like to believe that my life has been a blessing. And I would just love for someone to just take a chance on a kid and see if you can make a difference. Because there's no greater feeling than for someone to come back to you years later and say, because of you, I am the person I am today. And sponsoring a Joshua Kid, you truly get an opportunity to develop a lifelong bond and a lifelong connection. And you can be someone to help develop someone's relationship with God and be that walking testimony that God has something better in store for you, that you can be of a bad situation without being in a bad situation. And everyone, every hug was appreciated, and every kind word and every motivating factor and every technique that I was taught when it came to God or prayer or building a relationship or Jesus being my best friend. Because sometimes when you have no one, all you can have is Jesus, and you gotta count on him and be your best friend. And I like to thank everyone who was a part of this program, and I hope I made you guys proud.
Whew. Okay, she made me emotional. That's Antoinette. The first gentleman was Rosario. He owns a restaurant. He's a business owner. And Mikasa is the name of his restaurant. And we're very proud of both of them. Of course, they're adults. Antoinette, by the way, managing over 300 people. Can you imagine that? And every year now, she collects toys and Christmas gifts for all the current Joshua kids. And this past Christmas, we were able to pass out hundreds of Christmas gifts for boys and girls because Antoinette organized it at her place of business and now gives back to the children. Isn't that crazy? That is really good. Here's what I'd like for us to do. This might be a little uncomfortable for some, but I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to some. We're asking for $30. I think it's $25 or $30 a month to support one of these children, or $300 for the year. Maybe you could pay that up front and just say, I'm going to pay for it. But before you pay them, pay that for their sponsorship, we want to get a relationship with them, to call them, write them, or you can let the church know and we'll communicate on your behalf. They'll write back to you. You could actually come and visit with them. You can actually have them in your home if you are so daring. Some of them don't know anything about the quote, normal way of life. I remember taking children on field trips. We took them to a farm and they had never seen chickens before in their life. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is a real chicken. It was just really cool. So let's pray. And then I'm going to ask if the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Can you come up and just pull one of these kids as one of yours and say, I'm going to take her. And on the back of this, Amaya, on the back of Amaya's picture is a form that you would fill out. And you would put that in the offering so we have record of your commitment. And then you would take Amaya's picture and a little bit about her there home with you so you could pray for her. Put her on the refrigerator or however, okay? So, Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit to minister. We know that you are the one that leads us and guides us and tells us what to do and when to do it. And so we just trust you that you're speaking to the hearts of people now. And thank you, Father, for what you've done in many, many lives of children, thousands of children and families over the years of the last 25. And for the next 25, we're praying for strength and continuation of this vision in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if you'd like to, just come on up and grab one. And no pressure, but I think it's cool if you'd come up and take a look and say, I think I'm going to grab, I like that guy because I like his shirt. You know, I don't know. Or you say, I like that little girl, or I want that little boy, or I want that little guy there. I think that's a cute little boy. And you say, well, I'm just going to take them, and we're going to make that investment. And while you're considering that, what your money does is it helps us to hire the buses, to pick up the children every week. We send them to camp every week. We are every year, for a week. We pay the entirety of their camp experience out of that money. It also provides school supplies for them in the fall. It also purchases clothing if they need it as well. And I think that it's well worth the investment. And while we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and receive an offering for those of you that maybe say, you know what, I can't do a child or sponsor a child, but I'd like to give something toward it today. We'd like for you to do that now. Just mark on your envelope JK, and the ushers are going to come and receive that. And while they're taking the offering, and then we're going to dismiss in a minute, I'd like for you to watch this video.
My name is Amaya. I'm 5 years old, and I want to learn about God.
I like to go to Joshua Kids because we learn about Jesus, and we do games, and we get birthday prizes.
When's your birthday?
January the 8th.
What'd you get today?
A brownie and fruit snacks.
My name is Kaylin. I like going to Joshua Kids because it is fun and we get to play games and worship for God and Jesus.
Hi, my name is Xavier Bills and I've been going to camp for Joshua Kids for 8 years. And the thing I like about camp is chapel because we do praise and worship and we worship Jesus. And another thing that I like about it is that the counselor's there because they take good care of us and they support us.
Hi, my name is Ariana.
and I am 13 years old. And camp, I had a lot of fun because we did a lot of activities.
My name is Demonte. I'm 2 years old. What I like about Joshua Kids is learning about Jesus. And what I like about Joshua Kids Camp is learning about Jesus and swimming. And thank you for sending us to Joshua Kids Camp.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
We love Joshua Kids. And it's really fun.
We love camp. We go there in
every
the summertime.
Year.
You get to swim. They cook this awesome food. You play
it's
crabs.
Really good.
It's really fun. I just love it so much.
It feels like home.
It does feel like home.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. I guess I took the offering too prematurely because you hadn't filled out your slips yet. So that goes in the offering. So I'm sorry about that. But can we do that now? And then if they didn't fill it out, they can give it to you. My son Lou is going to be at the table out in the foyer. And we'll have the pictures of the children that are remaining out there for one last tug of the heart that you might say, okay, I'm going to take one. But thank you for responding to that. I think you see the value of it, and you know the value of it. Okay, you can fill it out and give the money today if you want to. That's great. Yeah, or give the offering. Perfect. All right. Well, we already prayed, guys, so go ahead and pass out the buckets or the bags and let people put that in there and give their offering as well. And appreciate it so much. Okay. All right. Thank you for your receptivity to this program. It's really, really powerful. It's a practical way of putting skin on Jesus, right? Make people see Jesus. Yeah, it's really cool. We've got so many stories we could tell over the last 25 years. Amazing stories. Other stories that are tragic. Not everybody was a success. Some of these young men and women have already gone to prison that were in our program. Some of them have been killed in gang fights. And we had one little boy that actually drowned on one of our Joshua Kids outings. So it hasn't always been, you know, real exciting moments of victory. There's been painful moments of staying with the program. So you helping us today is really helping us to continue to reach children for Christ. That's what it's all about. All right. All right. Praise God. Heavenly Father, today we are so grateful, Father, for the change that you're initiating in our lives. And I just bless this house, God. I bless this congregation. I know that these are people that love you with all their heart, soul, might, and strength. Father, I know that they are your children. Bless them, Father. Heal their bodies. Touch them, God. Give them solutions, wisdom from heaven. God, we thank you today, Lord, that you are working on our behalf, even behind the scenes. And we expect that we are going to walk right into the blessing of God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing through the ministry of the youth and the men's ministry, the women's ministry. Thank you, Father, for prisoners of hope. Thank you, Father, for those that are being touched today with a kind word and a gesture and a smile. Thank you for those that have come today, God, that have braved the cold and the winter weather and said, I want to be in the house of the Lord to bless you. So right now, Father, we take this last opportunity and we bless you. We might want to raise your hand with me and just bless the Lord. Father, we bless you. We honor you, God. We glorify your name. You are good all the time, Lord. And we acknowledge your goodness and your greatness in this house. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that mercy met us this morning, Father. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you have a prayer need this morning and would like to pray with someone, we'll have people here on the right and left, and we'd love to be able to do that. I'm going to be slipping out and driving over to Valley View tonight in Lorain at 6 o'clock. Okay, in Lorain at 6 o'clock. the supernatural service. And then 2 weeks from tonight, I'll be here for the supernatural service here. Okay? So live right, love everybody, pray hard, have a wonderful day. And we're going to take these. And Louie will be in the foyer to answer any questions about the Joshua kids or the paperwork or anything like that. Okay? All right. Hug somebody on the way out. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.